When I began to put this message together, brethren, it was actually last week when I began to put this together, Tuesday morning. And as I was putting it together, here were the stories at that time that were trending. I put down the top 10. Some you'll know, some is like, what's that? But they try to fit everything to get everybody a nice little taste. Number one, if the six-hour workday works in Europe, how about in America? Two, ISIS claims female Russian spy infiltrated terrorist network. Three, states with the biggest and smallest governments. Four, world's most extreme speculative mania is unraveling in China. They didn't tell you what it was, you had to go see. Five, California braces for unending drought. Six, the cost of a car the year you were born. Seven, 15 lazy weight loss tricks. Eight, world's most over-the-top Starbucks. Nine, secrets nurses wish they could tell you. 10, experience the future of gaming with Oculus Rift and select virtual reality ready PCs due to ship May 31st. So those were the stories last Tuesday, brethren, that were trending. Now, some of you remember, you know, the big mogul Ted Turner, when he rolled out for the first time ever a 24-hour news station. And it was called Headline News. Everybody remember that? Headline News. And every half hour, they ran the news. And they ran the news all night long. Headline News. Then they expanded it to all the other little other stations, CNN and everything else, but Headline News. You don't hear much about headlines anymore. You hear more about trending. I remember, I love sports, and on the radio each morning going to work out, I would listen to Fox Sports. And the guy would come in, the announcer, Fox Sports News, right now. And then boom, they run the stories. And then one morning I was driving in and Fox Sports News, trending. So trending? What's that? You're supposed to give me the winning trending. And from that day forth, right, it's Fox Sports News trending. Trending. You go to any site, any news site, you'll see probably posted what's trending at the moment. You know, you go to Bing or any of the other sites, here's what's trending. Top five trending stories. Now, as interesting as some of these subjects are, brethren, and some of them are very interesting, and indeed I'm sure many people follow up on them, they read the story in its entirety, how many of them are going to follow up stories, that same story again the next day? There'll be other things trending the next day. Many news agencies, be it radio, television, or internet, give their lead stories, which are steeped in what is trending. What's trending at the moment? Again, you may have remembered when they were at one time called headlines. Here are the headlines. Or, here are the top stories. Now, here's what's trending. What is the purpose of trending in headlines? Well, according to one writer, it makes it possible for a reader to glance rapidly through a newspaper and obtain a quick summary of the news highlights. It also can set forth the mood of the story and draw the reader into the story. It can enable a reader to select the news story he or she wants to read. And it also summarizes the important facts of a story. So rather than years ago getting the afternoon paper and for me it was real easy. I get the newspaper, sports section. But if you wanted to find some headlines, someone said, oh, did you read the article? What page is it on? What article? Well, now, they're trending on top. They're trending on the bottom of your television screen. And now it's used in all forms. It used to be just for the news. But now, trending is used for sports, the weather. You ever thought weather would be trending? 100% rain. I caught that on trending. The rain was coming, 100% chance. You're going to get wet. Entertainment, leisure activities. Trending, like anything else, can consume your time if you're not balanced. You can get caught in the trending and never get to go where you had meant to go. The question I'd like to ask you this morning, family, with all the trending that's going on, when's the last time you checked to see what's truthing? What's truthing? Now, truthing is not a real word. I made it up. But I'm going to send it to Mr. Kylo anyway. Say, hey, Mr. Kylo, when's the last time you went truthing? Life, hope, and truth. Trending is fine. But when's the last time you went truthing on a matter? Because truthing comes in many forms too, doesn't it? But the end result is the same. Knowing exactly what God is saying about what, brethren? Whoa, about this planet? About the nations of this planet? About the future? About the kingdom? Here are just a few of the important subjects that truthing covers. When you go truthing, brethren, you can find out how did the world begin. You'll find out how it began. You'll find out how you began. You'll find truthing on things like diet, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. How about where the law came from? Truthing will show you how to make right decisions or judgments. Truthing can show you religion, both false and true. It can show you the origin of kings and the origin of priests. It will show you the rise and fall of peoples and empires. It'll show you the truth on marriage, the blessings of living a pure life, and also the tragedy of living a corrupt life. Truthing will show you how to worship, when to worship, and who to worship. If you go truthing, you can find out what happens after death. Truthing also comes in poetry. It's called the Psalms. But there's truthing. There's truth in poetry. There's truthing in marital romantic love, called the Songs of Solomon. There's truthing in the past, called the Pentateuch. There's truthing in the present called the Gospels and Epistles of Paul. And there's truthing in the future under Daniel, major and minor prophets in Revelation. Truthing is also found in conversations among church members. It's found when one asks a Bible question. Direct truthing is when you sit down with your Bible and perform a topical study or other study using Bible as your basis. Again, trending is fine. But when was the last time you went truthing for answers to life's difficult questions? We hear the numbers, do we not, brethren, of those going to our Life, Hope, and Truth page. They are looking for something. Something happened, something came up, or they just were curious, and they went searching. And they came upon our site, and they typed it in, whether it was Ten Commandments, whether it was, do you go to heaven after you die? And guess what they found? They found truth. Whether they believe it or not, brethren, falls onto themselves. That's on them. The word truth appears 230 times in the Bible. If you have a King James Version, it's 237 times. Now, when it comes to trending versus truthing, would you believe, brethren, there was trending even during the days of Christ? There was trending, even during the days of Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth as God in the flesh. He observed many trends of the day. For one, his own people were fixed on the fact that they were Abraham's descendants. They enjoyed that particular headline. They loved telling people who their descendant was. The only problem was they didn't behave like their descendant, Abraham. But they enjoyed it. It was their top story. They vaulted themselves above other people. Now, to be sure, they were Abraham's descendants. But they relied on their trending rather than truthing. And Jesus Christ spoke to them on this. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. How often did Jesus try to give them truth, but they really stuck to the trend of the day? John chapter 8. There were some who believed what he said. But again, brethren, we understand believing it, as there are many people out here today, brethren, who believe the Sabbath is today. But they don't keep it. They'll tell you, oh yeah, we know. But I go on the Lord's Day. Verse 31, John 8. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you see, not just hear it, and not just believe it. He said, you have to take this deeper. Because see, if it's anything else, it's just interesting material that you could tell somebody. Oh, Jesus came by our home today and he said some things that were really fascinating. You know, we believed it. Well, did it move you to change? Well, not really. But it was fascinating material that he gave us. He said, now listen, if you abide in it, which means you're doing something with that word, then you are my disciples indeed. See, you can say you're one. I'm Jesus' disciple. Then why aren't you doing what he said to do? Well, you know, life gets a little hard sometimes. But, you know, as soon as life gets a little bit better, I'll start doing what he says. No. If you want to be his disciple, You must abide in his word, because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, because you are abiding in it. And you'll see things happen in your life that say, this only comes about through one who abides in his word. This is the only way it comes about. Now they answered and said, we're Abraham's descendants. What does that mean? He's just giving you the truth. What does that mean? And have never been in bondage to anyone. Why are you saying this? See, how can you say something like that? In other words, brethren, what they're saying is trending was good enough for them. Just having the knowledge was good enough. Just being able to identify, see that man over there, that's the Christ. That was good enough for them. I identified him. He says some very amazing things. You ought to go listen to him one time. I listened the other day. See, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anybody. So what they're doing, brethren, is just skimming off the top. They're using the name Abraham. And they felt that was sufficient. And drawing a conclusion without searching deeply for what, brethren? To see if Abraham abided in God's word. That's why he said, if you had known him, you'd know me. Because Abraham knew me. He loved me. He was my friend. You keep saying the name. But Abraham did more than just know who I was. He abided in my word. How else, brethren, can you take your own son up to sacrifice him if you weren't abiding in that word? And your son says, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? I don't see any sheep. Where's the sacrifice? We've taken this long journey. And Abraham says what? God will provide, my son. What else could you say, brethren? Anything else would be a lie. Unless you told him, hey, son, it's you. You can say that, yeah. Pew! Come back, Isaac! You know, he said, listen, God's going to provide. And why did he focus on that, brethren? God had already told him, your descendants, sand of the sea, stars in the sky. He believed it and abided in God's word. So they said, yeah, how can you say you will be made free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Why? Because if you're not careful, you can begin to abide in it. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Because God's going to say, obviously, you don't want me. You want sin. You're abiding in it consistently. You are lusting after it. So you can't abide in that. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm sure all of us have wondered, brethren, if there were some in the church. For me, I had my genesis in the Worldwide Church of God. That was my genesis in the late summer of 1983. We had large, large congregations of people. We had so much literature. Books and books, multiple magazines on truth. On truth. Is it possible that some of the individuals there who read that literature, heard those sermons, especially about the first fruits and their future, and they reasoned just being in the church was enough to obtain eternal life. Just going to church. But never abiding in it. Just thinking, I'm here, I can tell you the commandments, I can tell you the holy days, but quite frankly, I don't have any reason to change. I'm in the church. However, if they had done some truthing, they would have seen things differently. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Because, brethren, again, come as you are is a trend. Come as you are. God will accept you as you are. All you need is grace. Those are trends that people say that by just doing this, you're going to be in, you're going to heaven. Or you're going to be in the kingdom. It's trend. Let's note the truthing aspect of one's conduct. Matthew 7, verse 21. Because see, if that was the case, brethren, come as you are, you know, just say his name over and over again, then why did Jesus say this? Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And people have said it. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, they shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many, he says, not a drop in the bucket, not a minuscule, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, wasn't trending enough? I gave you my heart. I said your name. I put a bracelet on and said, what would Jesus do? I wore a cross. I had a bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. I had all those things. Surely, I was a Christian. I read a religious tract. I saw a man with a megachurch telling me all I had to do was confess your name. I read a religious article that said, just believe. And that was enough. These feel they went further than that. Have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? There is one prolific church that is constantly doing that to its priests. Now, brother, can you imagine Mr. Franks calling us to headquarters every 5 minutes to cast out demons out of the ministers there? Would you imagine what that's like? I can't even conceive of something like that happening. But they're casting them out in his name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them the words, brethren, that none of us in this room want to hear. I never knew you. He said, I never knew you. And I mean, brethren, I mean, the conversation is over. Get out of here, he says. Depart from me. I mean, there's no, oh, well, wait a minute, I got another story. Well, what about this? No, get out. Depart from me. Why? You who practice lawlessness. Brethren, people believe in God, but not his law. They believe in God. They just don't believe in his law. They don't believe he's going to do what he says. And because of that, brethren, people avoid the truth and make themselves free through personal allowances, religiously speaking. As I said earlier, there are people who know the correct day God commands us to worship him on. But what's trending appears to be more fashionable, popular. More people go on this particular day than the day God commands. So isn't the mostest got to be the rightest? The bestest? So God, we know you, but we just can't obey you. If you go truthing, you will find something entirely different. Isaiah 58, verse 13. See, if you open the book and you go truthing and you find out what he says, surely you can act like you never did it or say to yourself, well, that was for old people another time. He don't mean that today. And try to, you know, excuse yourself from it. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. He says, wait a minute. Whose day is this anyway? You talk about you love me. You talk about you reverence me. You cast out demons for me. Doing all these signs and things for me. And yet you won't even do what I say. He said, it's my holy day. And called the Sabbath a delight. He never said, brethren, call the first day of the week a delight. When did he say that? That's trending for some, though. That's a delight. It's the Lord. They gave it a name. This is the Lord's day. Who gave it? Did he say it? No, well, we did. And you call, brethren, the holy day of the eternal honorable. His holy day, honorable. And shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Oh, trending on the first day of the week affords you all those things. I can go to church and then go watch, you know, the football game. You know, I can go to church and, you know, watch the hockey game. I can go shop till I drop at the mall. Big sale going on. You know, is that your Sabbath? Yeah, but look, I mean, I went to church. I gave God his due. Now, why can't I have mine? He knows I love him. I just can't. I can't go to all day long. And when I gotta go to work tomorrow, how are you calling that day honorable? Well, you're not. Verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And if you do that, family, what does God say? He says, and I, God, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Eternal has spoken. So when you check to see what's truthing, brethren, it becomes abundantly clear what we are supposed to do. Here in this country, people are in the midst of preparing for a change in the seat of power. You hear a great deal about government. In fact, again, as I read earlier, people are upset. Some are calling for, what, smaller government. Others saying it's not big enough. Others saying it's intrusive. Some are saying it's excessive. Some say it's not giving me enough. The subject is debated on television, radio, and yes, around water coolers at the office. Which is better, big or small? How much government is too much government? Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. God has allowed man to hoist up his governments. And I remember getting into a very colorful conversation with someone one day. They felt they wanted to vote. They felt they could make a difference. And I said to them, why does God need you to vote? And he said, well, it's something that he could work through us. I said, does God need you to go down and ballot? When did he need us to go down and ballot? When the Bible says, who lifts them up? Who puts them down? Who uproots them? Who replaces? Who restores? Does God need you to go into this world's environment and participate in that when he says, my kingdom is not of this world? If it were, my servants would fight. But they aren't, because this isn't. So, with that in mind, Romans 13 verse 1, we read, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. God can remove things at any given time, brethren. At any given moment. Right now, things are just falling apart in Venezuela. People are just, they're hungry, they're fighting, they're mad. It's fracturing. These things are allowed to stand, brethren, or fall. God is aware of all of them. The authorities that exist are sometimes appointed by God. It's not because they're righteous people. I give you a man by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar. God said, I'm going to use that man. There was a reason. I'm going to use that man. I'm going to bring him in, and he's going to, in essence, punish my own people. He appointed him. God did that. To come in and conquer his people who had deserted him. God gave the authority. He does not need us to be involved in the election of human beings to government positions. Now, there will be future stories trending about the importance of getting out the vote, getting to vote, and all the things going on. Brethren, did you and I vote for the government that's coming to this earth? Did we all get together at the feast and said, okay, Wendell, hand out the ballots. We're going to vote to see if we want God's kingdom to come. Yay vote means yes, no vote, no, not sure. Well, that kingdom, that government, brethren, is coming. It has been appointed by God to come to this earth. No man is going to stop it. No angel or former angel is going to stop it. It's coming here. Just as he appointed Nebuchadnezzar to conquer his own people. We didn't take a vote to see if the King of Kings could come back. He told us, I'm coming back. The government will be with him. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. What government? The government of God. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, do we want small or big government when he comes back? Well, let's see what the government's going to be. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That sounds like big government coming to me. A big, wonderful government that all of us, brethren, will have a part in. There's going to be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, brethren, not a bunch of people, not a government structure or whatever. No, God will perform this. Jesus Christ said, before he departed, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay, he couldn't say that unless he had it, because God doesn't lie. He said, I have the authority. I have the power. In the meantime, before I come back, you go out. And when the Father calls new people, you make disciples out of them. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to what, brethren? Observe and to do everything I told you. Now I tell them so they can hear it. He said, you tell them now, you want to be in the kingdom? You got to do it. You've got to do it. Because we already know knowledge is prophesied to increase. A lot of people are going to know things. A very few will be doing those things. There are times when our children or grandchildren will come home from school or from playing with friends and share with you a story that could be trending at school or with their friends. Some of the things you'll hear are funny, some are innovative, but there may be things which come to you that are controversial. Granddaddy, a cow came to school today and said, don't eat us anymore. Cow's bad for us. Then the chicken came. The chicken said, don't eat me. Bok, bok. Or, Mommy, a man came to us today who raises organic hogs and said, it's good meat, it's good for you. Do you think we can eat organic hog now? These ass better than beef? No antibiotics? Is that true? These all we do is give God thanks, and that's okay. Is that true? Or is that what is trending? And you're going to say, let's go truthing. I don't care how organic that hog is. The words God says is, do not eat it. And that's enough. Do not eat it. Jesus also used this method, brethren. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. The story of the lawyer who sought to contend and maybe vault himself a little bit above Jesus as far as education is concerned. No doubt he had gone to schools. You don't become a lawyer by just rote memory. You go and you learn. You're taught. So he thought, here's an opportunity to take the teacher to task a little bit maybe regarding the law. Luke 10, 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? He's asking, what is truthing on the subject? What truth can you tell me about that? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, presents what was trending for their day. And for their day, your neighbor was another Jew. Samaritans, less than dirt. So, and who is my neighbor? You see, truthing brings something with it, brethren. And Jesus then begins to give the parable of the Good Samaritan. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he saw where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Remember, he was beaten and left for dead. The Samaritan, not very highly thought of at all in any circle of the Jews, had compassion on the man. Just like Jesus Christ, brethren, had compassion on the multitudes and would not send them away hungry. He looked at them and said, these people are hungry. They've been out here listening all day. They're hungry. I can't send them away hungry. So guys, feed them. Verse 35. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. Take care of him. This is compassion. He cared for the person. Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So this is no one to, oh yeah, I got to go to a convention now. Okay, see you later. He says, no, I'm coming back through. Whatever he needs, get him what he needs. I'll pay you on my return trip. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And probably a little embarrassed, he said, he didn't even say Samaritan, did he? The one who showed mercy on him. Couldn't even mouth the word Samaritan. Then Jesus said to him, go and do. Go and do. That's truth. You go and you do it. In 22 days, brethren, a church that is built on truth will assemble. It will assemble around this world. Though small in stature to the religions of this world, as David was to Goliath, this church, like King David, is not competing with the trends of false religion or desiring to be popular in the sight of people. Our desire is not to remain in this present state. Through truthing, we learned long ago, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We learned that long ago. That is truth. God wants so much to give you the kingdom. So in a little more than 3 weeks, we will hear the words of the kingdom spoken on the Feast of Pentecost. And like the parable of the Good Samaritan, brethren, we too can have compassion on a world that is spiraling out of control. This world is spiraling, brethren. Sometimes it's hard to look at it, to see what people are doing to themselves, to their families, to their country, to one another. And you say to yourself, this world is dying. As the first fruits, brethren, we can have compassion, knowing what? That there's going to be a time, an appointed time, when we will have the opportunity, like that Good Samaritan, to what, brethren? Bind their wounds. They don't want you binding them now because they think they're okay. They think you've got the problem. You need some medicine. You're sick. They think they're okay because others who are like them have told them so. They don't see the peril. They don't see, brethren, what is coming. We, as God's first fruits, realize this and understand what it is to have mercy directed towards someone, because it was directed towards us, wasn't it? God was merciful to us, called us, and moved us forward, brethren, to the point where we look forward to the day when we will be able to assist Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to assist him, brethren, side by side, to do that which he said when he read the book of Isaiah and said, I've come here, brokenhearted people, captives, slaves of sin. I'm here now, and we will be with him, brethren, to wipe away the wrong trending and bring in the truth and bind the wounds and remove what they felt were the top stories of Christianity and replace them with truth. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. It is what that sanctifies us, brethren? The truth sanctifies us. When we abide in it, we're sanctified.
The prayer of Jesus Christ to the Father before he died made it abundantly clear. Your word is truth. Again, trending can be very interesting. Trending can be fun. It can be very informative. You can come up with new recipes. You know, you want the latest salsa for Andy to make for us? See, man, I got that. That was trending right on the top of my screen. I'm glad you grabbed that. Little known facts about people and animals. The latest innovations in technology. But when it comes to the Word of God, truthing is just as interesting, enjoyable, informative, and educational. Knowing the truth, which makes us free by the application of it, brethren, is invaluable. Truthing was important to the king who was about to enter into sleep for the final time. But before death came, he asked God to remember something in 2 Kings chapter 20. Of all the things one could say as his friend departed from him, God's servant to inform him that it was time, before he died, he asked God to please remember something. 2 Kings 20, verse 2, Hezekiah. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Eternal, saying, remember now, O Eternal, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth. He didn't say it was perfect. He said, I tried to walk before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He did not ask, brethren, for God to extend his life. That is not in his prayer. He simply said, you know, before I go, I'd like for you to please remember something. Remember, I walked in your truth. The extra years were a bonus. He had no idea the prophet was going to come back and say, you know what? You got an extension here of a few extra years. Another 15 years. God said, Isaiah, go back. And based on that prayer, God extended his life another 15 years. Believe me, that wasn't trending in those days, brethren. That was not trending. That was truthing. And God heard, and God remembered, and God acted. King David saw a great deal of trending in Saul's house, just as we see in the world around us. But at the end of the day, we should seek to be taught what is indeed true. For in the realm of truthing, brethren, who do you think the best instructor would be in this arena? David tells us, final verse, Psalm 25. Psalm 25. When it comes to truth, who is the best instructor? Here's what a man after God's own heart said to that in Psalm 25, verse 5. Truthing when it comes to learning about God. David said, lead me in your truth and teach me. You're the best instructor ever. So please, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. You don't make errors or mistakes, so please, teach me, lead me. You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Trending is fine. But when did you last check to see what's truthing?